How are you guys doing? Good morning. So good to be with you. Victoria, that was awesome. Come on. That was so good. Thanks for sharing with us. Yeah, that's double applause worthy, I think. Yeah. So good. You guys have a good post-Easter week. The struggle is real at the Winters household because we have this pile of Easter candy. I don't know if you guys are the same way. Maybe it's because we have small children. At least that's the excuse that I use. We have so much Easter candy. We go through during the week and we throw healthy eating out the window. And inevitably, we'll go to Kroger during the week to get groceries. And inevitably, I will wander towards the seasonal aisle, just this magnetic pull. And I'm lured in by the fire sale of Easter candy that they have there, the discounted Peeps and 45-cent Cadbury eggs, and it just piles up. It makes things worse for us. But I'm really glad to be with you guys this morning. Some of you guys were gone last week for Easter, so it's good to have you back. And now some of you guys may be new this morning. We're really glad to have you guys as well joining us. We're starting a new series called Go. And we thought this would just be a great time for us as a church to come back to why we are here, our mission as a church and as followers of Jesus Christ. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday at City Day. I don't know if you guys know, we have H2O City. We had a City Day yesterday. We actually drew some pictures. The prompt was, draw a picture of why we are here. And this is my group's picture. You can see we have some artists in H2O City. It's really good. So there's the cross of Jesus, O for Ohio State and the city, and then a heart of people. Anyways, that was our group's rendition of why we were here. But we did this because it is so good for us to come back to remembering. We need reminding of it constantly, don't we? It's easy to lose sight of why we're here. In the midst of life, all the stuff you guys have going on, responsibilities, even in the midst of church activities or spiritual things, we can miss why we're here. We miss our mission, and so we're going to come back to it. And I just thought we'd start off the series by sharing with you guys our mission statement. We actually have a mission statement as a church. It's this: H2O is a gospel-centered community whose mission is to see the college students, graduates, and professionals of Ohio State University and Columbus become disciples of Jesus Christ, who are equipped and prepared to influence their families, workplaces, and the world. So that's it. Come on. That's why we're here. I know it's not the most eloquent thing, but it's simple, right? We're a gospel-centered family, community. We want to make disciples of Jesus Christ at OSU and in the city, who will then go and influence the world for him and their families and workplaces all over the world. And it's centered around this passage that we see at the end of Matthew. Some of you guys may be familiar with it. It's called the Great Commission, where Jesus says this to his disciples: therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. We're going to spend 5 weeks on these few verses here. Just actually two words today, so the rest of the guys are going to have some ground to make up in the next weeks. But these two verses are so vital to who we are and why we are here. So let's pray and then ask God to bless our time. Lord, thanks so much for this morning. Thanks that you are worthy of our praise and you are a good God. And we're excited to be here this morning to hear from you. Lord, I'm just really excited about this series. I pray that you would teach us, God, inspire us. You would get us excited about why we're here. Remind us of the amazing mission that is a privilege to be a part of that you've called us to. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we love the timing of this series. I don't know how intentional it was on our end, but it takes place shortly after Easter, right? We're kicking this off a week after Easter, and in Matthew, the context of this happens shortly after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I thought I'd set the context for you guys just a little bit so we can help us understand the gravity of these words that Jesus is sharing with his disciples. All right, so Jesus has just risen from the dead. And I know it's easy for us to say that now, 2,000 years later, a little nonchalantly. But try to think through the lens of the disciples. Their Messiah, their teacher, was in the grave. And they saw him get arrested. And then he went to the cross, this horrible, horrific Roman execution on Friday. And then he spends the Sabbath day resting in a tomb. He's in the grave. Hope is lost. Right? The teacher, our rabbi, our mentor, our friend, our shepherd, the one that we walk closely with and at the same time stood in awe of, who talked about the kingdom of God, who spoke in parables and taught, who demonstrated, and then feeling the loss, the confusion, maybe the fear, and then boom, Sunday morning happens. And you hear reports, the empty tomb, the stone has been rolled away. And then Jesus starts appearing to his followers. And this is like the ultimate Cinderella story becoming a reality, right? We love March Madness because we love the Cinderellas. This is the ultimate Cinderella story, the ultimate underdog. He is alive. Think about the celebration if you're one of his followers. He is alive. Just the worship, maybe the weeping. Even if you're still emotionally engaged, I would probably have checked out sometime on Saturday emotionally, right? So much emotion, so much excitement, maybe uncertainty, maybe wonder. Is this for real? Right? It's so easy for us to make the story seem so docile, right? Well, Peter, Jesus has risen. Yes, Thomas, he is risen indeed. Fist bump. All right, he's back. Right? But think about it, the joy, maybe the terror of it all. What is happening? Is this for real? And then Jesus has them go to Galilee, about 80 miles from Jerusalem, where a lot of this has taken place, to go meet him on a mount. And he's still appearing in the meantime to people at seemingly random times and places. And then he calls this meeting, so you got to be wondering, if you're one of Jesus' followers, what is going on here? We're hiking up to Galilee, and he's called this meeting. What is this going to be about? And then we pick this up in Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. What a powerful picture, right? That'd probably be some of us. Some are worshiping him, yes. Some are doubting. Is this for real? Is this true? In verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Jesus has just answered one of the biggest questions he got during his life and ministry. Whose authority are you operating under? Who sent you? Where did you come from? You must be demon-possessed. Where are you even from? Does anything good even come out of Nazareth? It should be very clear now, right? It's like he's saying, I am the one. I'm the Son of God. I am the King. I rose from the grave, which I said I would. Right? These things are true. And I know some of you guys are still doubting, Thomas, but all authority has been given to me. I love what the Bible says about Jesus later on in Ephesians 1. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And Colossians 2 says this, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority. You guys are getting the picture. All things are under his feet. All authority has been given to Jesus by the Father. He is the King. So then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Therefore, go. Wait, what? Think about all the things that could have followed that statement on authority when Jesus busts out the authority card. Right? Peter, John, go ahead and get your zitheras together. We're going to form a little worship band. Thomas, why don't you actually share a slice of life? Because I know you doubted, but then you poked my side, and now you believe. So why don't you get up and share that? And Bartholomew, I need you to go figure out a small group system. If you could have a nice little acronym, maybe that spelled out Messiah, that'd be great. You can come back. Everyone, you guys just come back next Sunday. I'll be here. I'm going to go through Deuteronomy because you guys totally missed that. And, you know, if you want to follow the resurrected Lord around this week, I'm going to do some crazy stuff. I'm going to tick off some Romans. I'm going to have my GoPro on, put a blog on it. It's going to be awesome. Right? There's so much that Jesus could have done and said and instructed. All authority, it's true. It's been given to me. But what does he say? He says, go. Right? And he says this to this crew of disciples, probably still in bewilderment. Go. And it's not just a word of command, it's a word of encouragement for them. We see a similar commissioning in John 20 where Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. It's a commissioning, an empowerment. It's like a pep talk for all of Jesus' followers. This isn't just for the 11 remaining disciples or even just for however many people might have been gathered there on that mount. This is for every single one of his followers, for you and for me. Therefore, go. Jesus has commissioned us to go. God is a missional God, and he uses people for his mission. And this is the heart that we see from the beginning with God, is to go. Genesis 1, he says, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Genesis 9, he says the same exact thing to Noah and his sons, fill the earth and subdue it. Genesis 12, Abram, a 75-year-old man, he says, go. All the people on earth will be blessed through you if you go. And if there was ever a guy who could say, you know what, I've kind of grown roots here, I feel a little settled down, it would be 75-year-old Abram, right, who becomes Abraham. God says to go, and he obeys. The nation of Israel, you see this with them as well. This small little nation on the small little strip of land in the Middle East, right on the Via Maris, the way by the sea, where superpower after superpower would go through, and God calls this little nation to be a light to all the people. To the Egypts and the Assyrians and the Babylons and the Persians and the Greeks and the Romans, all these superpowers who would occupy or come through part of this nation. And God has put them there to be a light. And you see this time and time again in the Old Testament. Why? So that they might know that there is a God in Israel. So that they might know. So that Israel would be a light to the world around them. And they might know that there is a God in Israel. And this is the legacy of mission that we inherit as followers of Jesus. This long legacy of mission. You know, a lot of you guys are in seasons of your life where you're probably asking, what is God's will for my life? What does God want for me? What should I do when I graduate? Right? We may not know some of those specifics, but we know one thing for sure. His will for us as followers of Jesus is to go. It's to go. That's our story as H2O. That is why we are here. We're the result of legacy of people going. There's a handful of men and women who said, we are going to reach the University of Michigan with the gospel back in the late 90s. I know it's a dark place, right? It's like trying to reach Mordor with the gospel. So dark. These people went, and then God grew the church and blessed their faith. And then the pastors had a vision to plant another campus church somewhere. And then God led them to Ohio State. And a team of us came down 2008. Thought, go reach all nations. That's got to include Buckeye Nation. So we came down to help start H2O. And we teamed up with a remnant of another legacy of people going. A history of fruit through campus ministry here at Ohio State. Several church planters, several pastors, several churches starting from what God had done here on campus over a number of years. And then dear Aziz Nahas was here pastoring the small flock, and some of those folks jumped in with us. To some of them, the go was to stay and invest in H2O, to join forces with this team of strange people from the state up north and see what God is going to do here in our midst, right? What a heroic faith by Aziz and some of those folks that stuck around. They invested. I think about my own life and people who were on mission and the impact that it had in my life. I put my faith in Christ when I was 14. A buddy of mine just invited me to his youth group, and I wrestled with the gospel, put my faith in Christ. And then later there was a youth pastor named John Rickenbacker who took me under his wing, and a bunch of guys that I had gone to a Young Life camp with, We met every Wednesday morning for pancake breakfast. We talked about the Bible, talked about our lives, and this guy was on mission with us. He invested in us. And that group dwindled and dwindled and dwindled until it was just me. And I don't know, this guy could have punted and said, you know what, we're done meeting. I don't know if he just had pity on me or what, but it just kept meeting. John Rickenbacker and me on Wednesday mornings, eating pancakes, talking about the Bible. And this guy invested in me. I had him stand up for me in my wedding. He had such a huge impact on me during my high school years. And then just a couple years ago, I was giving an update back in my home church out in Washington of what God was doing over here on campus and sharing a little bit of my story and the impact that John had had in my life in high school and this church that I was a part of. And one of the ladies that was there was like, oh, that's so cool because I just felt called to invest in the youth in some way. And I donated a bunch of pancake batter to the youth and the youth group and what you guys were doing. It was just a small connection, you know, just some pancake batter, but it was cool to be like, yes, I ate probably hundreds of those pancakes that you provided, and God used it to have an impact on my life. It was so cool, just this small step of faith, right? People responding to God's mission in their lives. I'm sure a lot of you guys could probably name someone in your life. I know Victoria did in her slice of life. Someone who had an impact on her life, on your guys' lives, because they're on mission to you. You guys are on mission. You guys have a unique mission field. And a lot of times when we hear the word go, we think, okay, we're just going to drop everything and find a third world country and go, right? Maybe like Victoria, you're going to go to Guatemala for short-term missions, or maybe long-term, and that's what it means to go. But it's not just that. It's going right now. Going is actually almost a better meaning for that word used right there. It is literally a lifestyle of being on mission. It's not just going to a physical place. It is going as a missionary, being missional right now. You guys all have a unique mission field right now, today, in your lives. Do you guys see it? Do you realize that you guys are sent to this mission field? There are people in your lives that need to hear about Jesus Christ so that they might know that there is a God in Columbus, a God in your life, a risen King. There are people in Scott Hall and Lincoln Tower and who live on Chittenden Avenue and in Tridelt who need to hear about Jesus Christ. And you guys are the missionaries. You guys have a unique mission field. You guys have been called to go. Take the good news of Jesus Christ. Go and make disciples. And when you hear that and you think about the commission, I bet a lot of you are thinking that you don't feel equipped to do that. Maybe you don't feel overly spiritual, or you don't know enough, or you're not gifted enough. Your life is too messy, too broken, too insecure. I don't even know what a disciple is. Perfect. That is perfect. Because who does God use on his mission throughout history? The weak, the small, the broken, the lowly, the uneducated, the wounded, the insecure, the underdog. You and me, you don't have to look very far in Scripture to see that God has been using broken people, broken men and women for his mission. Guys, we are called to much more than sitting in meetings. That's not what God has called us to. One of my favorite quotes from Gladiator, where he says, "The time for half measures and talk is over, Senator." Talking is great. Learning is great. But we are called to go. We are called to much more than meetings and gatherings. 2 Corinthians 5 says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are Christ's, God's plan to reconcile the world to himself through Christ. Isn't that a crazy thought? We are his plan. We are his ambassadors, his representatives to this world. Look at Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Guys, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are his ambassador. You are his witness in Columbus, in Ohio, in Michigan. Ooh, that's the Samaria. To the remotest parts of the earth, to everywhere. You guys are the witnesses. And we get to do this together. It's one of the beautiful parts of our community is that we get to do this together. Jesus has commissioned us to go together. We are in this together. One of our dreams as a church is that we would be a community that embraces the reality that we have been sent. It's one of our core values, the community that is sent. I thought I'd just read it to you guys. This is our dream for H2O. We desire to follow in Christ's footsteps as he came to seek and save the lost. We value authentic connection with those who don't know Christ, proclaiming the good news of Christ in order to participate in the Holy Spirit's work of reconciliation through sharing the gospel with those around us. We hope to participate in God's work of redemption as he heals and restores individuals, families, and communities. We value maintaining a global focus as we work to fulfill the Great Commission, continuing to remember the poor and suffering as we minister to both physical and spiritual needs. This is one of our dreams, one of our values as a church, that this would be true of us. We would realize that we are sent. And so we have faith goals as a church, things that we are praying for as a church. And just a couple of them that come out of this community that is sent is that we would be planting a church. That what we've seen God do here at Ohio State with 60,000 students, this huge mission field, we would go to another one. Because there's campuses all over our country that need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. College students like yourselves who need to hear about Jesus. And our dream is that we would be a church that plants other churches. That people would go somewhere else and see the gospel spread there. We're also hoping to see God do something amazing right here at Columbus State. It's a campus right down the road. And Dan Luke has been building teams there, working on developing a small group community, reaching out, getting the gospel out. That's one of our dreams, is that we would have an impact, that we're praying that God would use us to have an impact at Columbus State as well, in the city of Columbus. Right, a lot of these folks, you guys have graduated and moved on to H2O City. We're trying to figure out how to be on mission there and have an impact there. Realize we are sent to this huge city. We're praying for these things. And this is why we are here. And this is why we have a Sunday service and why we have teams and small groups and why we have community engagement days and retreats and spring break trips and mission trips and why we squawk at you guys incessantly about leadership training. Because these things flow out of us trying to live out our mission of doing this together. That's our dream, not to have a bunch of meetings and events and activities that you guys can participate in. We want to live out this mission that God has given us together. Are you guys invested in the mission, or are you just in meetings? We pray that we'd be a church on mission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. I just want to leave you guys to wrestle with two questions. The first is this: where are you going? Where are you going? And not just like pick a country, spin a globe and put your finger on it and go to that country. Where has God sent you right now? What is your mission field? Some of you guys, it's your family. God has put you in a family and you want to be a light to that family. Some of you guys, maybe it's a roommate or a classmate or a neighbor or a friend, or some random person you play basketball with at the RPAC. God has put us in a mission field. Where are you going? Where is your mission field? Who are the people that God has put in your life who need to hear about Jesus? The second question is, who are you going with? We're not made to be a bunch of lone rangers that go out and do this on our own. Who are you going with? Who are you linking arms with? Who are you teaming up with in life to go out and reach out? Get the gospel out with. Who are you going with? Who are you teaming your life up with on this mission? I encourage you guys to pray about those questions. And then I invite you guys to invest the next 4 Sundays here with us, because we're going to look at what this means. This was just 2 words of those verses. We're going to look at the rest of what this actually means and how it looks for us as a church and as individual followers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, just thank you that it is a privilege to be a part of your work and what you're doing. And that we've seen your heart demonstrated in Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, the love that you poured out for us. And I thank you that we can experience reconciliation to you, new life in you. But thank you that you've also called us to an amazing mission, called us your ambassadors. It seems like so many other things that you could have done. You invited us in to this mission, given us this great commission, and empowered us to go and represent you to the world, Lord. It's humbling, but so exciting. We thank you for that, Lord. Help us to understand more and more what that means for us as a church and as individual followers of you, Lord. We need your help. Pray that you would continue to speak to us and bless the next 4 weeks, too, as we wrestle with this great commission and seek to live it out together. In Jesus' name, amen.